Every year when the snow starts falling and temperatures drop, it is time for a different kind of harvest than you've ever seen before. This year is the 10th anniversary of the Hide in the Flats distillery that Gary planned and built for the tree farm in Naples, Idaho. He loved being outside, working shoulder to shoulder with people, and this winter harvest was one of those special times. Hello and welcome to Young Living's podcast, The Wild Drop. My name is Jacob Young, your host. Young Living is the world leader in producing and distributing premium essential oils, and this podcast will provide you with drops of information about Young Living, including stories, history, product information, lots of little fun facts, and even more. Welcome our executive director of Young Living Farms, Brett Packer. We're so happy to have you back on the podcast to talk about some exciting stuff.
Yeah, no, this is great. Thanks for having me. This is actually one of my favorite topics.
Yeah, winter harvest holds such a dear place in my heart. Well, I guess a lot. I say that a lot for everything, but you know, there's just so many things about Young Living and everything that we do that it just holds a really special place in my heart. And winter harvest happens to be one of those. And it's such a fun time, a great time, a very cold time. There's been warm days, but it's mostly always freezing. So,
you know, the winter harvest is so unique. I mean, so many things at Young Living are unique, but I called the winter harvest Gary's magic formula, right? Because who on earth but Gary could combine frozen trucking, boilers, massage tables, distillation, I mean, draft horses. I just go on and on. And I mean, people from all over the world, you know, it started in St. Mary's, then to Highland Flats. Now we do one in the Northern Lights Farm in Fort Nelson, British Columbia. But you could imagine people from every single corner of the world have literally been to the winter harvest.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for those who haven't been to the winter harvest and may not know about the winter harvest, kind of explain what is the winter harvest.
So, I mean, even that term, a winter harvest, that kind of sounds counterintuitive, right? I mean, harvests are done in the fall, or those of you that know our aromatic herbs are June, July. But this is when we harvest the grand fir, the blue spruce, the different species that go into the evergreen essence. And something Gary discovered, and I'll try to put it in really simple terms. Imagine you go out, and it was just negative 30 at Highland Flats the other day, which you go cut one of these trees and imagine it's not frozen on the inside, right? And so the oils do so many things for herbs and plants, but one thing they do for conifer trees is they're actually an antifreeze. And Gary discovered as the weather got colder, the oil level spiked. And so that's what first, you know, drove him to launch a winter harvest. But then he wanted to bring the brand partners into this experience, and it actually started on our first farm, the St. Mary's farm.
Yeah. What's amazing about that antifreeze aspect during the winter is my dad discovered why weren't people harvesting in the summer. When he was talking to people that harvest the trees, he noticed that when they did harvest them, they weren't getting a lot of oil out of them. And so he almost wondered if it was such a low quantity oil that you had to have such a surplus and such a huge inventory in order to get decent oil. But what he realized is during the summer, the trees use that oil as just kind of like, you know, camels with water. They just store it. They don't really use it. And so it goes down into the roots. But during the winter, they need to stay alive. And so the oil is what keeps the tree warm and pumping and, you know, and so it gets shot up through all of the tree, including the limbs and the branches and whatnot. And so that's where all the oil gets stored during the summer is the roots. And we don't necessarily want to uproot the tree. And so that's why we wait till winter. And the sustainable aspect that we do with all of this harvesting is something that is also truly amazing and incredible. And I think it'd be great if you also talked about how many trees we also plant during the summer after our harvest in the winter.
I love that you bring that up because it is a full cycle. I know it's what I like to call regenerative forestry, but we have a spring planting event every spring, and it's another event brand partners participate in, and it's a lot of fun. And it's much more hands-on because there's not heavy equipment. You're planting these trees by hand, and you can come check in on them the next year in 10 years, et cetera. But there's years we planted only 70,000 trees at Highland Flats.
Other years, we've
planted 250,000.
I like how you say only 70,000.
Yeah, that's a low year, right? And we plant at the St. Mary's farm too. There's trees down there, and we plant at the Northern Lights farm. So another part of the sustainability aspect or the regenerative aspect is we don't actually kill the trees on our farms when we harvest them. We do what's called a stump culture, and we cut about one-third to two-thirds down. And then the leader splits into two, and the tree actually becomes much more bushy, and it has that established root structure underneath it and grows much faster than planting a new bare root seedling. So you get to plant a tree that never dies and just continually produces oil.
It's the Hydra, except usually two heads instead of three.
Well, the more you cut it, the more heads it gets.
Oh,
so well, it's kind of an interesting thing.
So it is exactly like a Hydra then.
You cut a head, another head comes.
Fantastic. Well, I have to say I've done both. The spring harvest is way less intensive.
Right.
I think that's the easiest way to explain it. You're not freezing all the time. You're not having to troggle through the snow and pick your feet up, you know, basically up to your hip and try and step forward and through and whatnot. But there's just such a magical experience when it comes to the winter time, especially when we bring the draft horses out. I remember the first winter harvest where my dad started to do that. He's like, my dad loved making things more difficult, but also for people to experience what it was like back in the day without all this fancy equipment. And I think one thing that's also really amazing is my dad is basically reliving what caused Young Living to happen. You know, as many of you know, the story of how Young Living came to be, my dad was in Canada logging and a branch from a tree way, way up snapped and hit him on top of the head and broke his back. And to go back even into the forest and start cutting trees again, I feel like you had sensed such a massive amount of fear, anxiety. And for him, he said it was almost like he was confronting his demons again. And so I think it's just amazing that he kind of went head on with it, still goes in there, still actually goes and like manually cuts the trees, doesn't necessarily use the equipment like the fellow buncher and whatnot. You'll see him go in there with a chainsaw and an axe and wedges and all sorts of stuff. And it's truly amazing to see kind of the math that comes into play of making sure that the tree falls in a certain direction, you know, how far you need to cut it when you add the wedges and stuff. It's truly amazing and impressive. And also seeing the draft horses, that's honestly like the best part is people don't realize, you know, just how much, you know, here in America, at least, like what we use our horses for. And the horses love it. The draft horses love to be put to work. They love to haul heavy stuff. And so when you strap that tree to them, they're ready to go. It's just a magical time. And to see people come together to just have fun and work hard and freeze together and also be able to kind of reap their rewards when they see that oil come through and get to bottle it by hand. It's an amazing experience, something that you truly can't experience anywhere else but here at Young Living.
Well, everything you're talking about that Gary would do for the brand partners, I mean, we can't have that experience with Gary currently, but we do have a movie night every winter harvest.
Yeah.
And we have a whole archive of old videos, and it shows Gary harvesting timber with chainsaws using the wedges and how it is a very precise and very high consequence math there, right?
Yeah.
And the draft horses, though, is something that Gary loved to let the brand partners take turns actually leading the horses. And that's something we still do with the draft horses up there. Very hands-on experience. And I mean, talk about a photo op, right? So that movie night, though, it shows Gary also driving the semis with his best friend, Eldon Niddle, from the Highland Flats farm before the distillery was there all the way to the first farm, the St. Mary's farm. And sometimes that took him 6 hours. And the summer, it's only a two-hour drive.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember being with my dad on that trip many, many times, hauling, you know, back and forth to St. Mary's. And sometimes we would go 72 hours just straight, just hauling back and forth. I remember the winter that we spent up there for Christmas. My dad actually had bought us tickets to go to Disneyland for Christmas one year. And he said, hey, kids, how would you like to go to Highland, Idaho? How would you like to go to the Highland Farm in Idaho for Christmas? And of course, Joseph and I were bummed. But the brand partners needed oil so bad, you know, they needed the Grand Fur. And so we told our dad that we understood. And he's like, trust me, when we get there, I'll give you the best ride ever. You won't have to stand in lines that are hours long, you know, to go to Space Mountain. No one cares about Space Mountain. I'll give you a ride that no one can buy, a ride that no ticket can buy, you know? And we got there and it was just like a sheet of ice everywhere. And so he pulled out the D8 and just started doing donuts and all sorts of stuff with the D8. It was honestly a lot of fun. And I know Ben Riley's shared that video on his Facebook somewhere. So if you want to scroll through his Facebook and you can find that video somewhere. But it was honestly a really fun time. And yeah, before the distillery was built on the Highland Farm, it was a long trek back and forth in the freezing cold in extremely dangerous conditions for the roads. But my dad, being extremely experienced with, you know, all of his driving and his trucking, he made it seem like an absolute breeze. It was a little scary being with him sometimes, but he was so confident with what he did, you honestly didn't have to worry. But just so many memories that I can go back to and share with so many people. So, well, I think, you know, we've talked about all these stories and these memories, and we want people to experience their own memories and share their own stories from their experience. And so with that being said, we do have the winter harvest going on currently, and we also have the Fort Nelson harvest that will be coming up here shortly as well. And would you like to kind of share some dates and times, and as well as, you know, kind of what we do at Fort Nelson? It's a little bit of a different operation, but kind of similar.
Yeah, it was actually built as a replica of Highland Flats, which is really interesting. But that harvest actually starts at the end of February. This time of year, it's just too cold. It's negative 40 or below with the wind chill. And when you go to harvest a black spruce tree, all the needles shake off with the fellow buncher. And so that does start in February. We do it every year right after the Highland Flats winter harvest. And so you have both of those opportunities. You can go to the original one at the Highland Flats farm, or you can go to the Northern Lights farm one that's truly amazing.
Yeah, it is super amazing. And the Northern Lights farm, kind of as suggested, you do have a slight possibility of seeing the Northern Lights. It's usually better in the summer months, kind of like August and September, but every so often, not often, but there's a rare chance that you might see a slight glimmer of the Northern Lights.
Or when you do see it, it can be pretty spectacular. We actually have groups that come from Hong Kong and Singapore, and they'll have people stay on watch all night. They do shifts because you never know when it's going to come out, and it's cloudy there a lot too. And so it's so important to them to see the Northern Lights and part of the experience that they actually have someone stay up on shifts all night and wait to see them come out, and then they'll wake up everyone. And so that's another really special aspect of the Northern Lights harvest.
I absolutely love that. That's amazing. So if you are interested in wanting to do either one of these harvests, if you're wanting to experience it for yourself, or if you want your team to experience it, if you want to take somebody with you, you certainly can. You just need to navigate to the Young Living website, click on the Farms tab, and then under that, you'll see all the different lists of the farms. You'll have Highland and Fort Nelson, and then when you click on that, you'll see an events button, and you can click on events there. And we'll make sure to link these down below in the description over here on the YouTube side. So if you're on Spotify, you'll have to come hop on over for a quick second. We won't mind. It's okay. You can leave really quick. Come hop on over here too. So, but yeah, it's the harvest itself, whether it's in Highland or Fort Nelson, just an amazing experience overall. Something that even if you describe it to people, you have to tell people, you have to experience it yourself. I can tell you all the stories. I can tell you how amazing and cold and terrible it is sometimes, but it's something you have to experience yourself.
Well, and we do a safety orientation, the beginning when we check in every group. And something I always share is like, look, the winter harvest has been going on for years and years and years, but no 2 weeks have ever been the same. They can't be. There's too many variables, too many elements. And then, you know, there's something for everyone. For some people, doing the raindrop training in the distillery is their favorite thing. The draft horses are their favorite thing. The distillation, the harvest, or, you know, we have the on-site lab analytics. We harvest the grand fir, blue spruce, white fir one day. We distill it the next day. And then at the end of that day, we do a class in the lab and actually run it through the gas chromatography and look at the analytics. All within 2 days, you see that process, right? And we've talked about so much of it being cold. Now, there is another side to it that's actually quite warm. And that's something Gary started a long time ago. We have a gazebo that has hot tubs with every single oil. And it's labeled so you can go to the white fir, to the blue spruce, to the grand fir. We have dry saunas. We have, you know, another part you're saying that, you know, a lot of this Gary brought his heritage into. And so he has all the old cook stoves that you cook food on with wood fire. He loved those. He had such a, you know, just it warmed his heart. It reminded him of a different time.
Yeah.
But all through the camp too, there's big wood fireplaces too, and we have bonfires too.
Yeah.
When you go down to the harvest site too, we have big burn barrels too, where you can warm your hands. And Jacob and I will actually be up there for the next couple weeks. So we'll get to experience it all over again and hopefully see some of you there.
Yeah, that would be such an amazing and fun time. And I honestly forgot about the hot tubs because by the time we were done with the with our day, we just wanted to go to bed.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are so rewarding after such a long, frigid, cold day, especially if you get a if you're doing distillery day. Distillery day is great because you're pretty much warm throughout the entire time, so you don't really have to worry about that. Especially if you go down below, it's pretty warm down there too. So obviously, I think it'd be great if you kind of walked through the day by day and then what people can expect with the harvest at Highland and Fort Nelson. It's kind of similar. I know at Highland Flats, at least, you know, at the very end, the very last day, we have a hoorah celebratory grand finale, which is amazing. And then I think for me, like the most rewarding part is some people are like, oh, I'd love to take a piece back with me. And we offered just that for you. You get to bottle your own bottle and take that back with you. Your blood, your sweat, your tears, your cries, your happiness, everything. It's in that bottle and you get to take that home with you.
And I know a lot of the brand partners say they've never actually opened that bottle. And they say they put the label on upside down since we do hand bottling. And I mean, you'll never look at a drop of oil or a bottle of oil the same way.
Yeah.
And so that's a really special experience. And it's, I think it's kind of the trophy you get to take home, or it's like all these memories wrapped up in a bottle.
Yeah. So what's the day-by-day experience look like for Highland Flats and Fort Nelson?
Well, and I did say no 2 weeks are ever the same. And different groups, different leaders have different things they're really interested in. And so, I mean, of course, we're going to go out and harvest. We're going to see the harvest of the conifer trees. We're going to use the draft horses. We're going to do the distillation. And to me, the real magic moment is when you see that oil transformed and show up on the separator and what we call the Passover. For some people, their favorite part is seeing the lab analytics, right? But then the next day, we do the raindrop training, and it's done in the distillery. And the distillery actually has heated floors, and it's a really interesting setting to do a raindrop training. Another thing unique about this raindrop training is it's only 20 to 25 people. A lot of raindrop trainings could be 100 people, 200 people. So you have a lot of time to ask questions or really review technique. And then Friday is kind of what we like to call an open day. It's the Highland Flats Farm is only 20 miles from Sandpoint, Idaho. That's been rated the most beautiful small town in the U.S. by Rand McNally Atlas and USA Today. And so it has a beautiful downtown on the biggest lake in Idaho, Lake Ponderay. So some groups opt to go downtown and go shopping, and that's really fun for them. We're about 20 miles away from one of the biggest ski areas in Idaho, Schweitzer. Some groups want to go skiing. Yeah. And I mean, the crew, though, is as much as we want to, you know, be guides and provide you the experience, we also want you to create your own experience, and because, in fact, you are, right? And so there's a tremendous amount of flexibility too in the event. And we, you know, as the leaders communicate with the managers, we do ask what's most important to you, or is there anything you'd like to do different? Since part of the legacy was Gary driving the trees from Highland Flats to St. Mary's, we do offer a trip to St. Mary's too. And say, we call it the oil trail. But we also explain that takes a lot of time. Yeah. So if you take time driving to St. Mary's, it's taking away from something else. But for some groups, that's what they want to do. And I think it's really powerful.
Yeah. We don't offer it in the semi-trucks. We can't fit everybody in the semi-trucks.
That's right.
So it's more of like an oil caravan because you have all these cars, you know, kind of going around, you know.
Yep.
But it is a fun drive. It's cool to see kind of the routes that my dad would take, especially if you go up the back way through the mountains towards St. Mary's. That can be beautiful. It also is a little bit nerve-wracking for some people because, like I said, that road gets extremely narrow in some places. And I think when people think I say narrow, I mean like a normal car is worth width of narrow. So think of a semi with a massive 32-foot-long trailer trying to go around these very tight bends. It takes some very skilled drivers like my dad and Eldon Niddle to take that all up there. And
yeah.
There are many people who refused to drive trailers up there. So it was kind of down to my dad and Eldon to do it.
Gary had drivers that quit after one day.
Yep.
And they're like, we're not doing this. And they were also pulling double trailers too. And
yeah.
We did get trucks stuck on that road before too. I mean, Gary never got a truck stuck. And we would have to put chains on every single semi-wheel, every axle.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a couple times where these really tight corners, and we'd have to go get the skidder and hook up all these chains and actually be out there till 4 a.m. in -20 to get the truck out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was all part of the experience, though. I mean, and that was back in the old days when everything, all the distillation happened at St. Mary's.
Yeah. And we were always rushed for time, especially with the old trailers. We didn't have the conveyor belt system that we do now to move the chips out. And so the longer that it took to get to St. Mary's, the longer it would take us to remove the chips, because the chips would freeze and we'd almost have to go in there and kind of like cook them from the bottom of the trailer with a blowtorch to get them to thaw out so we could pitchfork them out. And I remember when I came up a few years ago, you were showing me, Jacob, you've got to check out these new trailers and these new systems. And you were showing me the conveyor belt and how the whole floor moves with it. Oh my goodness. I wish we would have had that years ago, because I remember that was like the longest and hardest part of the whole harvest, was having to thaw the chips out and then little by little kind of chip away at them. And that was honestly like the worst part of the whole harvest, was the frozen chips. So
we would get loads that would show up completely frozen. I always did the night shift in the distillery with Ishmael, and him and I, there are times that we just had to sit there and chip and chip and chip. And that you're saying that we have these new walking floor trailers that are 48 feet and they completely offload themselves. The old trailers are actually from Southern Idaho. They're potato hauling trailers. That was what Gary was familiar with. Right. And so, I mean, it was a chore, but it was also one of my favorite memories. I didn't even know what the winter harvest was. I'd worked with you and your dad in Ecuador, and he said, "Hey, Brett, I want you to come to the winter harvest." And the same, I mean, the first time you hear that word, like, how do you process it? Like, winter harvest. Okay. And I got picked up from the Spokane airport, drove into the distillery. Gary gave me a great big hug and thanked me for coming. And then he handed me a pitchfork and he said, "Climb in." And, you know, and but I'll never forget the smell of that grand fir in that form.
That's amazing.
So I do miss it in ways at times. And we have a couple of those old trailers we pull out once in a while, just, you know, just to relive it or show people the genesis of what we've, you know, moved through. So.
Yeah. Well, once again, we could be here for hours talking about all of our experiences, but this is kind of to give you a little bit of a taste, a little bit of a teaser, what you can expect. And our experiences are going to be completely different from yours, and we want just exactly that.
Yeah.
We want your experience to be different so you can tell your story and share your story and get others to come and experience the winter harvest as well. Like we said, it's very small groups. It's a small quantity. And so not everybody has been to the winter harvest, but it is our goal to have everybody at some point in time to have been able to experience the winter harvest. So check out the website, check out the links, get signed up for either this year or next year. Make it a bucket goal for you. I think it's just something that you truly, really do need to experience, whether it's the Highland Flats or Fort Nelson or both, if you choose to do that. Like Brett said, no 2 weeks are ever the same. No two locations are ever the same. And so it's just something that we can share about, but you won't be able to understand what we're talking about unless you experience it yourself.
I can picture it all in my head and see it so clearly, and I don't know if my words are even coming close, but truly it is one of the most formative experiences you can have in young living.
Yeah,
I mean, I know so many people that have said it absolutely changed their life, changed the trajectory of their business, their enrollments, or just touched their hearts. And I mean, something too, that the staff up there, the crew, once you see their dedication and what this has come to mean to them, it's a really special thing to experience, the way that Gary passed the baton. And it continues to get passed. I used to manage the Highland Flats Farm, and I'm not even there now. The new management team has that baton now, and they just do incredible work. And at first, you know, you have to imagine these are gentlemen with forestry backgrounds, logging backgrounds from North Idaho. And when I first hired them and Gary first hired them, and they were logging what they've done their whole life, and all of a sudden had people from all over the world show up and take pictures of them, they thought it was the strangest thing they'd ever seen, right? And then little by little, they understood the power of it. They started connecting with these people from all over the world and saw that how much this meant to them, the value. And it really changed our employees' lives. And I mean, the dedication, the transparency that's provided in these events, and I mean, the content you can take away alone and the memories. I mean, what a treasure. And I can't wait to see you all there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Brett and I will be up there very soon. We hope to see some of you there as well. Brett, we appreciate your time, your experience, your knowledge, your passion, and everything that you do for us. And super happy to have you on the podcast, and can't wait to have you back on the podcast again.
Always a pleasure, Jacob. Thank you. And can't wait to see you at the harvest. That's where it even gets better.
Where we can freeze together.
Thank you.
And thank you for tuning into this episode of The Wild Drop. Remember, you can listen on iTunes, Spotify, on YouTube, and of course our website at www.youngliving.com. Don't forget to oil up, Young Living family. This is Jacob Young, dropping out. Take care.